Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, doing two Maryland Crab Cake tour stops this week, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and Jiffy Lube. We will be on Tuesday at Beachy's. It's been too long since I've said that. I got to get back to, but I'll play their ad for free because it's so friggin' good. The meatballs and the delicious cheese garlic bread will be on the menu, replacing the crab cake because it's the holidays. I had the Feast of the Seven Fishes last week. I can have the Feast of the Crab Cakes on Wednesday. We'll be at Costas on Wednesday. Lots of great guests. Gina Shock stopping by Wednesday, and lots of old friends for my Dundalk show. Some old family friends, including my favorite middle school teacher, Calvin Statham, who will be making his return. I think he's 88 now or 89. So that's Wednesday. Tuesday, we are stacked with guests. Marty Conway, Sam Sessa, John Maroon, Alan McCallum, all joining us at Amici's. Luke Jones joins us now. I like competitive football games. I mean, we'll get one on Saturday. That's cool. 16.5 point spread. I mean, you and I laughed when it was 15 to start last week. Little did we know we'd go the other direction. And then the Ravens would just cover because, you know, I mean, the great Drew Locke didn't get to play on Sunday. Instead, it was, who are these guys? I mean, my God, it's the end of the year. Teams should be trying to get better, not tanking. It certainly feels like the Giants could be in line to pick up a young Heisman quarterback, perhaps.
I mean, they could. I mean, they're going to. You would think they will. They better do that because they've already said goodbye to Daniel Jones. And to your point, Drew Locke didn't play. Tommy DeVito leaves the game with a concussion. They're down to Tim Boyle. They might have had a better chance with Tim Tebow at quarterback on Sunday. But I mean, let's face it, this Giants team, when they were at full strength back in September and October, was not very good. I mean, you're talking about a team that hasn't won a game since a Columbus Day. But what really stood out for me, Nestor, and I'm with you, as far as I'm concerned, we're on the Pittsburgh week. There's no need to belabor the point about what we saw on Sunday, which was domination from the Ravens, especially on the offensive side. But looking at the Giants depth chart, which, as you know, teams sent out their game release at the beginning of the week. So for the beginning of the
I
week,
don't
for
get
week
depth charts
15.
anymore. Thank Chad Steele. I just got to throw that in. Because you're like, you know what? I haven't seen a depth chart in 3 years. I missed my depth chart. You know, I missed my
Well,
flip card.
when I say that, I'm saying that more so for anyone listening right now than you. But yes, of course. But of their 11 listed starters at the beginning of the week, that's not including Dexter Lawrence, the Pro Bowl defensive tackles, who's already on IR. That's not including Azeez Ojulari, who was a big name that we talked about at the trade deadline, already on IR. Six of their 11 starters that were listed at the beginning of the week on their depth chart defensively did not play. So Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense that has made good, healthy defenses look bad at times this year, they did what you would expect them to do. And Lamar Jackson had a great day, five touchdowns, completed 80%, you know, what, 80%. 4% of his passes, 290 yards, 50 rushing yards. Rashad Bateman, great day for him. Mark Andrews sets franchise record for career touchdowns scored. What else do you want me to say? They did exactly what we expected them to do. I saw you were really close to nailing the final score prediction. I said 31-12, I think was my score prediction, which was pretty close.
I
So
had 37-13 because I thought they would kick a field goal or two, and then they just didn't kick field goals. So then my 13 went out the window. So yeah.
I mean, about the as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, and I know you had similar sentiments as well. Look, are there any meaningful takeaways from this game? No, I mean, there just aren't. But that said, that doesn't mean there's a whole lot to be upset about, other than I suppose penalties continuing to be a thing. But what was the bye week just going to fix all that? It's something we'll continue to talk about. To your point, Justin Tucker. He made five extra points, but did not get tested other than that. In fact, they had Jordan Stout kicking off in the second half, which I thought was an interesting development. You know, maybe something that they're looking to do to maybe take a little bit off of Tucker's plate the rest of the way. Who knows? But by and large, 35-14 win. There isn't that much to be upset about, that much to be overly concerned about. The defense did some bending, yes, but they also limited the Giants on third and fourth down, which is a big reason why they only came away with 14 points. So it's on the Pittsburgh week. Let's face it, the most significant development of the day occurred 100 miles south of MetLife Stadium, with the Steelers losing to the Eagles, well, in the late slate on Sunday afternoon. Makes it a one game deficit in the division. And hey, all eyes towards Saturday with Ravens Steelers in what's easily the biggest Ravens Steelers game we've seen in several years.
And we're gonna have, the week to do that, and we'll get to that a little later. But I do want to stay with the Giants game, and because this is where we evaluate the team, right? Like, they lost to the Eagles. The Eagles are better than we think, right? I mean, the Eagles beat up on Pittsburgh, and didn't give Pittsburgh a chance to kind of get up. And at home, carried their business at home. Now the Ravens have to carry their business at home here this week. The penalties and what they mean when you play good teams. When I look at their five losses, I think they didn't really play poorly in any of the five games. They just made huge mistakes, breakdowns in the defense, things like that. But they haven't been beaten out on the field since probably week one. Kansas City was probably the better team that night across the board. But you go through their other losses, not just because it's Cleveland and Las Vegas, but the way they lost games, even to the Eagles, and saying, mistakes, penalties, that if you took all the penalties out of the season or took half of them, pick any of the half, this would be a far better football team because of down and distance, because they drives would not have stalled, defensive penalties that just put 7 points on the board for the Giants. I mean, literally before the half, they couldn't help themselves. But and then there's the penalties they don't even get called for. They hit quarterbacks in the head a half dozen times. That's happened this year, and they haven't gotten called when that would have been 15, 15, 15 more, including with the game on the line with Burrow a couple of weeks ago. Like, I don't know. They just, the discipline part of what I need to see from a team that's leading the planet in penalties, and they're not dirty. I don't think the Ravens are a dirty football team, but I think they come in a little late and a little high, a little too often. And that's penalties that aren't even getting called, let alone the ones that are getting called. I've not seen this from a Harbaugh team. Like, it's a little strange to me to lead the earth in penalties. You're the Ravens, not the Raiders, and it's ongoing. It's 12 more against the worst team on the planet on Sunday. Like, that's something worth leading the story with today as they continue to win, because it's not necessary. These are not penalties of if you hit the quarterback in the head by accident. I can almost accept that, but jumping off a line of scrimmage, the pushing and pulling of jerseys in the secondary, just stuff that they're coached better than this. At least I think they are. I don't think much of John Harbaugh as a man, as a human, but I think he's a really good football coach.
I mean, I think of course, he's a really good football coach, but I mean, this is who they are. At some point in time, it's like, was the bye week just going to change all that? I mean, and I'd say this, they didn't commit penalties against the Eagles, and they lost, right? I mean, they lost that game. That was more so their kicker, not making field goals, not making kicks. I mean, so yeah, when you look at their five losses, the penalties have played a big part of that, and Justin Tucker has played a big part of that. And if you want to boil it down to being a little more simplistic, Marcus Williams played a big part in their losses, right? Eagles game aside, because he had already been benched by that point. But this is who they are. And I hear what you're saying about John Harbaugh. And look, I think we oversimplify the whole penalty discourse, whether we're talking about complaining about officiating, because yes, there are absolutely ticky-tack ones. But to your point, you can also go through any team, not just the Ravens, but you can go through and you can find penalties throughout games that aren't called, right? So there's almost a randomness to it in a general sense. But when you're a team that has nearly 1,000 yards in penalties on the season, which I'm looking at it right now, after 112 yards of penalties on Sunday, they're up to 997 for the year. And that's applied penalties. That's applied penalties, not declined and, offsetting things of that nature. So, yeah, I mean, how much of it is coaching? How much of it is the players themselves? I mean, we are talking about professionals here. These aren't high school kids. These aren't college kids, right? All these players showed an aptitude, an ability talent to get to this point in time. So I'm not just going to say it's all on the coaching when things go poorly and the players get all the credit when things go well, because that's one of my biggest pet peeves about discourse in 2024 as it pertains to sports, right? So it's some combination of both. I'm not going to let the coaching off the hook either. But again, this is who they are. And it's week 16.
That's tough to overcome against Buffalo and Kansas City on a
It
cold night in
is.
January.
That
I mean, it
said,
is. If you're going to play that kind of football in late January,
it's not helpful.
it's going to cost you a chance to go to the Super Bowl. It
Well,
is.
but you just gave me an ex the Oakland Raiders committed penalties back in the 70s, and they won some championships. So, but your point is well taken. It makes things more difficult, right? It's something else you have to overcome, and
Are you
you.
good enough to play in first and 25? Maybe they are. You know,
I
they've
mean, they have been
overcome
at
it at various
times.
points. Yeah, you
They
know,
have been
like.
at times. And again, look, I'm with you. I'm not sitting here saying that the penalties aren't an issue, but I am sitting here saying I don't know if it's going to get any better when we have now 14 data points to say that. I mean, looking at it, their best games all year from penalty standpoint is the Philadelphia game. They had four penalties for 20 yards. The first Cincinnati game, they had five penalties for 21 yards. The Washington game, three penalties for 33 yards. Beyond that, I'm looking at this right now, and they have 50 plus yards in penalties in every other game other than those three games I mentioned to you. I mean, this is as much of their identity as Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson or their defense giving up big plays until the last month or so. I mean, it's
They win
Justin
by three
Tucker.
touchdowns, and I lead with how many penalties they have because it's absurd.
Well, and part of it is also this game more closely resembled a scrimmage than
Oh my
meaningful
God,
December football.
it
I
was
mean,
like August. It really
right.
was.
It really was. I mean, DeVonta Walker caught a touchdown. I mean, you're talking about a kid who offensive snaps, you could kind of, you could single out the times where he's even been
When he
active, let
caught the
alone.
ball, I'm like, who is it? Who
Yeah,
is
I
that
mean,
guy?
some nice footwork on the back end line. So that was good to see for the future. I don't think it
For a
means
minute,
a
I
whole
thought it
lot.
was Deontay Johnson. I'm like, no, he's
Right.
suspended.
It's funny you said that because I was actually going to say, well, they do have some other receivers. If the Deontay Johnson thing's not going to work out, it appears he's coming back. We'll see. I mean, I know there was a NFL Network report over the weekend that he's going to have an opportunity to be back in the building and see what he can do. But yeah, they had a chance to get some young guys, some run. They were able to rest some of those guys in the fourth quarter. Lamar and some other veteran players, as we mentioned. I think that might be the best development to come out of this game, that they were able to rest some of those guys, knowing you're on a short week and then a very short week after that, knowing you need to win and keep winning, because even if you look at the tiebreaker profile, it's not favorable for the Ravens when you kind of look at record and common games, which is what it could come down to if these teams are tied at the end of the regular season. So they need to keep winning. Obviously, they need to win Sunday or Saturday, or the division's done and Pittsburgh clinches, but they need to keep winning, and they need Pittsburgh to lose another game after that to really be in position where, barring something unforeseen from a tiebreaker standpoint, where the Steelers don't get it. But they came out of this healthy. They were able to rest guys. They win by three touchdowns. Lamar Jackson was fantastic. Not just with receivers running wide open. He made some great throws as well. Rashad Bateman made some good plays. Good to see him look healthy after he had the knee issue that kept him out in the second half of the Eagles game. So, look, there was plenty to like, but again, we're just not going to get ahead of ourselves from a standpoint of recognizing that you beat a 10-2-win football team that was already bad to begin with and is even further depleted at this standpoint. You don't want to apologize for it, but that's why it's very much a case of, all right, good job. You did what you were supposed to do. Pat on the back. Get ready for Pittsburgh. Like I said, the most significant development was the Steelers not only losing, but TJ Watt hurt his ankle late in that game. It doesn't sound overly serious, but when you're talking about a short week, is he going to be ready? Is George Pickens going to be ready? So, yeah, I mean,
The Ravens are a better team than the Steelers. So just
I've said that
as
all year. Yeah.
right, like
Talent-wise,
that's where it
yes.
is, right? All that being said, the penalties, the problems on the back end,
Kicking.
the kicker.
Boswell's been way better than Tucker.
So all of that being said, I look at this and say the Ravens should beat the Steelers. I would have said in April and May and June and July and August they would win this game. If Russell Wilson was slapping around at the end of December, I'd say, well, good for the Ravens because, he must have been good enough to play good enough, but I don't think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl. But their defense is, and to your point, there's something about this, the mystique, the rivalry, all of that. This game here, Lamar hasn't played them a whole lot. Russell Wilson hasn't played the Ravens a whole lot. So, it's the way it should be, right? I mean, we've had years where the Ravens have run away and hid. We had a lot of years where they were chasing the Steelers or chasing the Titans or chasing the Jaguars or chasing whoever they were in the division with, the Bengals, for several years. This is like a different kind of chase because I think the Ravens have rarely caught anybody in any of these division races to win the division. This is one where they've played from behind a little bit here and can sort of pull it out in the end. And they have a hell of a week with Christmas. Christmas is next Wednesday. like they got to go play again on the back end of all of this. But their health just keeps coming back to me and saying if they can stay healthy, they can kind of win anywhere because they have enough talent to do that. If they go out and don't commit penalties, make their kicks, Lamar runs the ball, they can't tackle Derrick Henry, all of the things that, as John Harbaugh would say, their best selves. If they can show their best selves, they're a really good football team. The problem is, over 15 weeks of seeing this, I've seen their best shot a couple of times. The Buffalo game being a great example. I mean, this time last year, we had so many examples of the blowout wins, of their domination, of all of that. All we see now is the potential for that. We're not really seeing that. We're seeing the potential for that. And that gets unleashed when you make your kicks, stop having penalties, and execute the way that we know they're capable of doing in this offense, which is first and 10, second and two, first and 10, first and 10. Move the ball down the field. Don't get yourself into these fourth and ones where you punt. He punted. Fourth and one from midfield early in the game. I don't have a script for John Harbaugh. He's like Roddy Piper, right? He changes the questions on you.
Well, I'll tell you why he did that. It's because he had no real fear of the Giants' offense
Offense.
from the standpoint of there was a time where, and look, you could also flip that around and say, well, that's more reason to go for it, right? I mean, if you want to shape your argument that way, but I think he knew that that was a game where Tommy DeVito or Tim Boyle weren't going to march them down the field over and over and over unless you c continued to commit penalties,
Well, you
and
kick the ball down there and hope they give it back to you down there.
Right. And that was the thing there. I mean, obviously, we've seen John Harbaugh be much more aggressive in those situations against better teams because it's a case of you're not sure you're going to stop them. So, yeah, they were conservative there. Would I have gone for it there? Probably, because I'm the guy that's going to be more aggressive about that. I'm the guy that likes what Dan Campbell does way more than what Mike Tomlin did in the fourth quarter on Sunday, which was punt on fourth and six with 10.5 minutes to go, down two touchdowns, and you didn't get the ball back. So I thought that was a much more egregious error than what Dan Campbell did against Buffalo because, well, they had only stopped the Bills once the
Well,
entire
Tomlin
game.
believes in his defense more than he believes in his offense.
Well, but that was too much, though. You at some, that as great as Mike Tomlin is as a coach overall, that has always been his blind spot, is being too conservative in those types of spots, knowing where, hey, you got to take a chance because you're down two scores at that point. Anyway, going back to what we were saying, yeah, it was certainly different. It was certainly a different dynamic. But hey, if you're John Harbaugh, if you're Todd Monken, when you look at the state of affairs with your kicking game specifically, now, not that that was an instance where Justin Tucker was going to try a 60-plus yard field goal or anything crazy like that, of course, because it was too far out to even talk about that, but they've had to adjust. And I think that's going to be one of the more fascinating dynamics the rest of the way. No matter how many kicks Justin Tucker might make, and look, he made five extra points on Sunday. We're not talking about him making any or missing any kicks. So that was good. But do you feel any more confident in what you saw from Justin Tucker on Sunday than you did during the bye week? No, of course not. So that's where you look at this, whether you're talking about Saturday against Pittsburgh, whether you're talking about next Wednesday against Houston on Christmas Day, whether we're talking about the Ravens playing on the in the playoffs and most likely on the road. You know, even if they get that home playoff game, if they're going to make a run, they're going to have to go on the road. There is that very fascinating dynamic of how are they going to have to play this when you're kind of in that 50-50 gray area in terms of, do I try a field goal here? Do I try a longer field goal here? What's the distance to go to move the chains on fourth down? If it's fourth and two, if it's safe, maybe not fourth and two, say fourth and three, fourth and four, fourth and five, compared to Justin Tucker trying a 50, 51, 52, 53-yard field goal. How do you proceed there? And
Well, we haven't
obviously,
seen Harbaugh play it that way in a dozen years because he hasn't had to play it that way with the kicker, right? Kick from
right.
anywhere.
I mean, they did it a little bit back in 2019, right? I mean, we kind of joked at the time. It's like, oh, I mean, because they were so good on so many of those fourth down situations. That's going to be a really interesting dynamic because let's face it, I don't know what the threshold is for the Ravens or Ravens fans or anyone to suddenly be confident in Justin Tucker again. How many in a row does he need to make? I mean, let's say he goes perfect for the rest of the final three games. He makes every kick. But let's say none of those kicks are necessarily a high leverage kick that you have to have at the end of a game or something along those lines. Are we going to be any more confident in Justin Tucker in the wild card round if that happens? In the divisional round in the AFC Championship game? No, it's just kind of it is what it is from that standpoint. He's going to have to just keep making kicks and keep making kicks and keep making kicks until we suddenly say, hey, he seems like Justin Tucker again. So how do you proceed from a strategic standpoint in looking at some of these, you know, when you're anywhere, you know, from the 30-yard line out, let's say, you know, and obviously there are going to be some cases where you're going to try it because you're going to be in fourth and long or something like that. But if it's fourth and short to medium, then we might be talking about a different discussion, especially if the elements aren't the best. And that tends to be the case in late December and January, you know, as we're talking about the rest of the way. So, you know, I mean, again, there was nothing to take from that. I mean, if we're no one's championing Justin Tucker just because he made five extra points, right? I mean, it'd be a problem if he missed another extra point, but you know, it's not fixed. You know, it's still there. So, yeah, how are you going to proceed? So, you know, I mean, from that standpoint, and even if he made a 51-yarder against the Giants, you know, that's not the same as, you know, making one against the Steelers with the game on the line. So
Well,
it
he'll have
just
that chance Saturday. I mean, this is going to be 19, 16,
you would
17,
think
13,
so.
right? I mean, you know, this is going to be a field goal and a field position kind of game. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. We have a short week that feels like a long week, and then we have Christmas. It's weird around here all the way around. Great conversations. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. It moves twice this week to Amici's on Tuesday. Wednesday, we will be at Costas and Dundalk, and I am not throwing in the towel on Christmas a week before, but we'll have no more crab cake tours until we gather on January the 7th up at Lib's Grill in Bel Air. All that brought to you by Jiffy Lube MultiCare. They power Luke up. Kind of a strange week with Wednesday becomes Tuesday and Thursday becomes Wednesday, and Saturday evening, the Baltimore Ravens are going to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Lots of folks excited about that. First place on the line, the AFC North, and the Steelers coming off a bad beat up in Filthy on Sunday. I can be found anywhere the internet travels, including our No One Listens, Everyone Hears documentary. Luke is up, of course, at Baltimore Positive and anywhere out on social media as we get ready for the game this week. The Orioles might even do something before Christmas. Who knows? I am Nestor. He is Luke. Stay with us. We're WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.